Blog Talk Radio
presents a Applause Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I thank you so much for joining us tonight. We've got a great guest for you, as usual, tonight, and my apologies to him. He was actually supposed to join us on January 7th, but we had a little faux pas here. I'm going to talk to him later about that. I don't want to tell my business over the air, whatever. But real quick, before we get started, let's do another quick thank you to Pete Turner, who was on with us. When was that? That was last week, I think. Oh, was it Sunday? I don't know, guys. I don't even remember. I don't have the calendar in front of me. But we spoke to an actual spy, a United States Army spy. How crazy is that? I had so many questions and I didn't know what to do. But anyway, before we go any further into that, let's just delve into what we're here for tonight. We have with us tonight guitarist, keyboardist, songwriter, frontman for the Burrito Brothers, Mr. Chris James. Chris, thank you so much for joining me again and for your patience. Thank you so very much. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Well, hello, Joanne, and thank you for having me and trying again. I appreciate that very much. I see it seemed real easy to understand how that January 7th attempt fell in the cracks, because we were going to talk about the Burrito Brothers Christmas album, and Christmas had just ended, and we were in that funny, lame sort of week right after all that, after the holidays, and so it didn't bother me. It seemed sort of understandable, and I sure do appreciate that you're having us back.
Oh, please, but listen, the Christmas may be over, but Christmas music never dies. So I can't wait to, I'm going to definitely still play your Christmas stuff tonight. I mean, that's what we want to talk about, your new Christmas album. I mean, Christmas
well,
music.
Also,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, go ahead.
We've got a strange little thing that falls in real nicely for this right now. We kind of played a little leapfrog. We got a little leapfrog game. We have a brand new album called Together, and it came out in August of last year. It was kind of delayed a bit, and we got sort of simultaneously all excited and fired up about working on this Christmas album. And then I begged the record company to go ahead and put the Christmas album out for Christmas, saying that once Christmas is over, we can resume, we can treat Together like the new album that it still actually is, and get that as our focus for the coming few months, and then we'll return to Christmas when the Christmas season comes. So I would love, since you've already geared toward the subject matter for our interview being Christmas, to go ahead and talk about that, but include this Together album, which
absolutely.
I hope that wasn't
I wish I wish I had known. I would have grabbed some music from the new album for Together. I'm so sorry. Listen, let's do another date and we'll play some music from Together. How's that?
But oh, that'd be beautiful. That'd be wonderful.
We'll talk about the album tonight. Yeah, we'll talk about the album tonight anyway. But and the reason I didn't mind having the Christmas stuff on is because I really didn't have a Christmas this year. It wasn't a very traditional Christmas for me. It's been a little crazy since November. And So, I mean, we did have a Christmas miracle in my family, but it just wasn't our normal Christmas. We were at the hospital, this, that, and the other thing. So, but Christmas music never dies. So, I mean, I'm more than happy to play it and share it tonight with everybody. But let's now let me ask you a couple things about the Burrito Brothers before we go any further about either the album. I know the band has always been called the Flying Burrito Brothers. Why did the name change? Was it a licensing issue, or you just cut it short?
Well, it actually hasn't at all always been called the Flying Burrito Brothers. It did start as the Flying Burrito Brothers with Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman and Sneaky Pete Kleinow and Chris Etheridge, the mega classic Gilded Palace of Sin album in 1969. Somewhere in the, like around 1980, the group moved its base of operations from California to Nashville.
Right.
And of course, like always in the never-ending, ever-changing history of the Burritos, there have been very many personnel changes. And when they got that deal in 1980 with Curb Records and moved to Nashville, Curb wanted them to call it the Burrito Brothers. They liked the idea of a simpler, straighter, catchier, punchier name, I guess, or something like that. It's still kind of a silly name, but it's been returned to being called the Flying Burrito Brothers here and there through the years. And then there was a decade, the first decade of this millennium, where the group that was still many of the alumni of the previous Burrito Brothers and Flying Burrito Brothers was going by Burrito Deluxe. Mm-hmm. But it's all considered just variations on the name of what is essentially the same group through, you know, regular personnel changes. If you look it up on Wikipedia, all those headings are under the heading that begins as the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Right.
I've actually
Go ahead. I was going to ask you why there's been such a huge turnover in the band. And it seems like, I mean, obviously every member of the band is phenomenal and then go on to bigger, better things as well. And it's a shame to me that the Flying Burrito Brothers never really got the notoriety they deserved all these years. You know, I mean, they're very popular. They're very popular. Don't misunderstand me. You know, it's just that, you know what I mean? I mean, you know what I mean.
It is a fact that the group has essentially always been somewhat under the radar. And I'm sure every version of it, every lineup has wished, like we do, that we could break through a lot better than that and reach a broader audience. But there's something satisfying in the carrying on the legacy and making really good music. The groups, every time there's a key personnel change, regroups and reasserts themselves and kind of needs to prove that they're up to the challenge themselves.
Right.
And it always happens by some offer being. Every time that it seems as though a core nucleus of the Burrito Brothers has called it a day, some promoter or record label wants it to be rejuvenated because that's far from being without precedent.
Mm-hmm.
It's always happened. And, and so we go in it just believing it's a beautiful opportunity to make some really good creative music with top-notch players.
Absolutely.
And give it our all, give it our best, and shoot for what we can accomplish. And it's nice. I mean, you could do a lot worse than the
I love the fact that you guys are continuing the legacy, too, of the band. I mean, that Graham Parsons would have wanted it that way, I think. I mean,
he said so. And so there's a quote from Graham saying exactly that. They asked him what he thought of, like, believe it or not, by 1973, before Graham had died and when he was interviewed about the Flying Burrito Brothers having a version of the group headed by Rick Roberts that didn't have any of the original members in it. He said he's all for it. He thinks the idea needed to keep going, whether he was in it or anybody else was.
Right.
And, so that's a sort of legitimizing cool thing that we can carry.
Right. Now, I wanted to ask you, have you guys ever, any of the versions of the Burrito Brothers, or will you ever consider writing a song about, I don't know if one does exist, about Graham's final wishes that his manager made possible after his death. That's a crazy story.
That is a crazy story, and it's probably the biggest reason why Graham... Well, maybe,
it'd be a great country
song. Like a minefield. It seems like a minefield. It'd be so, I don't know, it'd be hard to figure out how you could truly do justice to that. It's such a crazy story of dragging his dead body out to the Joshua Tree desert and setting fire to the coffin.
I know. I know, but it would make a great country song. That's why I was like, I don't know if it exists, but if it doesn't, I think it should. Because Graham was, you know, he was a talented guy, and my God, his legacy alone, just for the Burrito Brothers, and just his musicianship throughout his whole little short career that he had, unfortunately, you know, he really did a lot. So, you know, anyway, but
no doubt about that. His influence is enormous. It's interesting though, because it didn't happen during his own lifetime. The Burrito Brothers really weren't, the Flying Burrito Brothers, I should say, really weren't very popular at all. It's hard for people nowadays to realize that probably, but it all sort of happened after the fact in later years.
Right. What did I want to ask you? In your opinion, I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe the Eagles may not have existed at the time they did. They probably would have got there eventually, but I don't think without the Flying Burrito Brothers, they would have got there as soon.
I'd agree with that. The first version of the Eagles was a country rock group with the emphasis toward rock. And that was the whole vibe that Graham carried. And I've heard people say that Glenn Frey would go and watch Graham and just almost study him. And it seems like they sort of tweaked the rough edges of the Flying Burrito Brothers and came up with a much more polished, palatable version for the general public. But also I think another side of that working so well for the Eagles probably was that a couple years had passed and it was starting to get in, you know, the ideas of country being involved with the rock sensibilities was getting more and more. You know, all those groups, Grateful Dead, Crosby, Stills, and Nash for that matter, Beatles, everybody kind of, well, not everybody, but there sure was a lot of country flavor in rock music in the early 70s.
Right. I have to ask you, I don't know if this is true, that I believe you went to school for journalism and became a musician. How was your family about that after going to college for spending all that money on college and becoming a musician?
I'd say maybe Mom was a little bit... I wouldn't say unhappy, but just wished I would have some sort of business world job having a college education, because I have three brothers and all four of my parents' sons are really good musicians. I mean, it really runs in my family. And
Didn't you have a band with your brothers? I think you had a band. Was it the James band? The James Brothers?
James Brothers, yeah.
That's it. And do you still play with them anymore? At all, or did they work on any?
Not really.
The,
the last time, when my dad died, sometime shortly after that, my brother David and I put together a tribute that our brother Peter joined, and all three of us played some music that night. And then going farther back, about 10 years ago, and a couple years before that, my brother Fred was actually in the Burrito Brothers. And he was in for a couple of years, and we were getting a lot of fun out of the idea that this was the first time that there truly were some blood brothers in the Burrito Brothers. Hmm. Although we tend to buy into the name that there's a lot of it in good, close bands that they feel like they're brothers, you know, who really are close to each other.
Yeah, you become a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Now, was that how you got your connection to the Burrito Brothers, from your brother being in the band, or no? You just, how did you connect with the Burrito Brothers?
No, I was actually in a little, I was in before him. My first time I played with the Burrito Brothers was in 1986, and they were in Nashville, and a guy named Argyle Bell put on it for Graham Parsons, because he wanted this guy, Graham Parsons, to get some more recognition, because he was still essentially unknown still. And he put together a group of musicians to back up the various singers who played that night on the tribute. And the Burrito Brothers in Nashville in 86 were just two guys. And it was John Beelan and Gib Gilboe. And so they used the night's stage band. They played with us. And so from that day on, I could put on my resume that I had played with the Burrito Brothers. I did 5 years in a row of that for that guy, Argyle Bell, the Graham Parsons tributes. And I got a lot of gigs with various people. The one that really stands out in my mind is Bobby Bear. And just kind of got in on that crowd, so to speak. Got my feet in the door. And for years would be maybe a guest here and there, or sing a backup on some song on an album, until finally getting my shot, kind of liking it to waiting in the wings for a number of years.
Yeah. Are you an actor as well? Or I came across something where you missed an audition to be a part of a Jim Morrison play. And I don't know if you had to have acting chops as well, or you just,
I couldn't really claim to be much of an actor, although I didn't miss that audition. I passed the audition to play Jim Morrison. It was called Celebration of the Lizard. I met Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger out there in L.A.
Cool.
It was put on by, what was that guy named? Joel Lippmann wrote it. And it ended up getting shelved. I think I always felt that it just didn't look like it was going to make enough money or something, but I also remember there was lots of sort of inability to come to agreements between the various camps in the Doors. This would have been about 1990, somewhere in there. And the parents, Pam Corzon, who was Jim's common law wife, and Jim had a will that willed everything to her. And she died just 3 years after him, so her parents owned the rights. But then, based on name and likeness, and I think, if I recall correctly, the Corzon parents agreed that the Morrison parents should also take equal part. And somehow there's these parents, the generation above Jim Morrison and his girlfriend Pam, who owned everything and had to clear rights for anything with them. And then there was the Doors camp themselves making archival records, and somehow or other it all just kind of fell apart. It was pretty heady stuff. I went out there to LA and passed the audition and started rehearsals and did demos and had my little time kind of acting like Jim Morrison.
That must have been something, huh? My goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I have to sneeze. Pardon me. Oh, excuse me. Oh, sorry. I had to sneeze. I apologize. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's
sorry.
All right.
All right. Well, oh, my God. I can't believe we're already half hour into the show and we haven't even talked about the Christmas album. So music has been in your family your entire life, obviously. So I guess mom couldn't have been too upset, because
she was always around it. And they were pretty good about, they really put their foot down and said, you know, we don't have a problem with your choice of career, but do good at it. Be responsible and conscientious, you know, do a good job of it. Don't just slack or goof off.
Right.
Yeah.
Make it happen, right. So now, the last album before the Christmas album, I believe, was the Notorious Burrito Brothers. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but I think I had somebody on when that album came out. And I don't know, was it you, Chris? I had somebody
else. Yes, it
on.
Was, yes. Yeah, it was me, yeah.
I thought
and
so.
Then we
Listen,
had, and then last August.
Time.
Oh, yeah, that was 2020. That was right smack dab when the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember.
It was weird, yeah.
Yeah. So now, what made you do a Christmas album after that? I mean, everything.
Well, just around this time last year, actually a little before this time last year, just fresh out of the Christmas before this one that just went, it hit me that, I was kind of still in the spirit and thought, Brutal Brothers never made a Christmas album. And with that idea of us always being under the radar, so to speak, I thought maybe this would have a little chance of raising eyebrows and being just different enough to get a little more attention than we've been getting. Because it's frustrating that no matter how good we make music, it seems that it's hard to get it out to a really broad audience. And I just keep thinking, who knows, maybe it's still possible. But also, as I alluded to a little while ago, got to count your blessings and kind of figure, hey, you could do a lot worse than this. We're making fine albums that we get a lot of people who it really touches, and it's just not that bad a thing. And so
right.
I kind of am okay with what happens. Because I think
Chris, I think if the music industry didn't change the way it has over the past 30 years, it definitely would have been getting more airplay or whatever, and more.
Well, they're really good albums. I mean, if I say so myself,
exactly.
They're just really, really strong.
So
we thought, I was going to say when you were kind of opening the storyline about talking about a Christmas album that, it was in regard to you saying it's not too late because Christmas music is good at any time. And it reminded
it
me
is.
Of how all of last year was Christmas for me. I mean,
right.
I was working on that project all year. And so I'll always remember 2023 as the year that was Christmas all year for me.
Mm. Wow. Well, Christmas is a beautiful time of the year, so I wish every day was like Christmas because then more people would be happier and there's so much love in the air. I mean, in my opinion, anyway. I mean, some people.
Yeah,
I don't
know. I'm all for the charitable, sweet, warm, loving family kind of stuff.
Right.
That goes
right.
with it, and kind of not wanting to get preachy about too much of the any specific. Religious choice. I mean, you can't escape it that the name Christmas, the holiday, is regarded as the day that
right.
Jesus Christ was born, named
right.
after that Christ Mass. So,
right.
so we touched that, but we didn't want to get like, this is not a contemporary Christian album, This is a new
right.
Burritos album. And it's more about love and sharing and kindness and family and that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Well, I love the take on Christmas Moon. It's got an Americana feel, yet Christmas at the same time. So now Christmas Moon, that is an original, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And I mean, when you hear it to me, it's definitely an original. So.
Yeah,
but
it was...
Go ahead.
when I came up with the first plan of doing a Christmas album and then kind of pitched it to the other guys in the band and they all liked it, I had a couple ideas for songs and they weren't even half written. They were just conceptualized. And I said to Tony Paoletta, our wonderful steel guitar player, that I had an idea for a song called Christmas Moon. It seems to me a title like that could have been one of the great classic standards like Frank Sinatra might have sung.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I love that idea. Let's do that. And so we went into a writing session together, and he suggested bringing Pete Young along too, the drummer, and just had that idea and a little bit of – my father had always said he loved symphony in D minor – by, oh my gosh, for some reason right now, I'm forgetting the composer's name.
I couldn't help you on that one.
Cesar Franck.
Oh,
Cesar Franck. I never heard of the guy. You know, we've all heard of Bach and Beethoven and Mozart,
yeah.
Chopin, whatever. But my father said his favorite symphony ever was the one by Cesar Franck. And so that intrigued me. And I told the guys that. And so we kind of referenced it. We listened to it to get in the mood and to get that old world sort of melodic, age timeless standard vibe into our heads. And I think it worked.
Yeah, well, again, I'm feeling definitely a true American listening to this and Christmas all at the same time. So, guys, if you need a little Christmas oomph, even though it's over, you're going to love this. This is Christmas Moon by the Burrito Brothers. Enjoy it.
Oh, beautiful this Christmas day. Freshly fallen snow, sharing our hopes and dreams this way. In our home, sweet home, singing this new Christmas tune. Underneath a Christmas moon. Christmas moon. It's so full, bluey white. Stars are shining in your eyes. Snowflakes dancing in the sky, lighting up silent night. Oh, beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah, this Christmas moon.
Now, that was a pretty little thing, wasn't it? A pretty little
thank
ditty.
You.
I really enjoy it. Oh, I do. I like
oh,
it.
Thank
and
you.
And that steel guitar, is that what that's? Tony Paoletto on steel guitar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He's just world class. He's so good at it. It's wonderful.
Oh, it sounds
and
great.
And it's funny. We heard in that symphony I was referring to before by Cesar Franck, the oh beautiful, it wasn't the words, it was that melody.
Right,
and
right.
Like, oh my gosh. So the, you know, America the Beautiful probably got it from there. And we also heard stuff, the Gershwin Brothers, Rhapsody in Blue, there's stuff that's really similar to that. And this symphony that my dad loved so much predated all of that. So we thought, well, we're borrowing from, so the people are going to think we're kind of stealing America the Beautiful there on the opening line, but why not use an anchor that people recognize? We didn't really steal the melody in any way, shape, or form. We just kind of took that one line that is also in the symphony in D minor and kind of justified doing it in that way. And
right.
I think the result was really sweet. I think we're at this way down the road veteran musician kind of place in our head and hearts. It's really sweet.
Yeah, that's exactly what I got. It was a sweet and again, it gave me just an American feel, I guess, maybe because the old beautiful.
Yeah, right. It
puts
you there right off the bat. Yeah.
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 And it's a great country, too. It's a country song, which is, oh, man, I'm surprised that didn't get more spins out down south. My goodness.
Well, I think it has yet to be brought to everyone's attention. That's another thing I'm liking about this idea of a Christmas album is that it comes back every year. You know, I heard the sort of downside is that its shelf life is only a little over a month at the end of every year. But then the upside is that can happen again each year.
Right, right. And when was it
released?
We're
certainly hoping.
Yeah, when was it released? December 1st, right?
Yeah, although I think you could get it streaming and digitally downloaded for about a month before that.
Right.
But we didn't have a very big window there. It was, it was a short amount of time and then Christmas and then people kind of think it's over, you know.
Right. And the name of the album is Christmas. That's the name of the album.
Yeah.
And it's got 12 tracks on it. Some are originals and some are covers. So that was definitely an original, folks. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
It's mostly original. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mostly original.
Yep. Yep. And
also, it always struck me all along in making it and finishing it that it was just the next Burrito Brothers album. It doesn't have that typical they made a Christmas album kind of vibe to it. It's a bunch of original songs and some left field choices like the Beatles medley from their Christmas messages and the song from Tommy by The Who, Pete Townsend's song called Christmas, which is a hard rock song. And it's just, you could leave out the idea of thinking it's supposed to be Christmas time to listen to it and just hear it as a solid, well put together album.
Right, because, I have my volume down. And the reason I have my volume down is because my sidekick, they let my sidekick out and he's in here and he's snoring away. So I don't want you guys to hear him snoring.
If that's anything like my sidekick, I just had to remove her from the room when we first started. My dog just kept coming down and wanting my attention and jumping at me. And I'm thinking, not now, please.
I know. Well, my problem is this one is literally up my ass, Chris. And he was abused and I turned him around, whatever. But I haven't been home much lately. I go to the hospital every night to go see my sister after work. So he hasn't seen me. So when I came home tonight, he has not left me alone. And I tried to keep him in the house, and I guess they couldn't keep him in because the studio's outside. And next thing I know, I see the door open, and here he comes. So,
well, I just felt, I don't know if guilt is right, guilty, but uh, I uh, I just went to the door and decided, okay, she can join us.
Oh, go get your baby. Yes, go get your baby. If I have to, if we have to hear my baby snore, we can hear yours. So if he starts snoring, it's we're not boring. It's my dog snoring. Okay.
Okay, that's good. It rocks.
I normally don't keep him in here, but I feel guilty too because he hasn't seen me, you know. So anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I was gonna say like. It's because it says Christmas Moon. It doesn't even have to be a Christmas song.
No, they're pretty nice to listen to. It's good playing and well-conceived music. I really have felt for at least the last three, really four Burrito Brothers albums, that they are full pieces of recorded musical art. They're not,
right.
they're in keeping with that wonderful mindset that popped up at the end of the 60s and stayed a while, where albums were the unit, the piece where it kind of took you on a journey, starting with the mm-hmm. first song and going all the way to the finale.
And then flipping it over and doing it again. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not just a random grab bag selection of some individual songs. It's a piece of work that goes together.
Right. You didn't just slap it together. It was work. And yeah, absolutely. Well, I loved it. And I hope everybody else does. The song is called Christmas Moon. It's on the Burrito Brothers new album, Christmas. It was released December 1st, which means it's just getting into kick into next year, really, because that's when Christmas music comes out. New Christmas music comes out for next year now. So you're on the cusp of just getting it out there now, actually, Chris. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we, you know, got it in sort of foot in the door a little bit this Christmas, and by next Christmas we might get a little bit of attention out of it. I
want
to mention before I forget that just today we got a brand new video, and it goes with the new album, the Christmas album, but the Together album.
Together, yeah.
And it's called I Live for Loving You, and it's a really nice video. It's a sweet video.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, in fact, I got this wild idea that I think turned out real nice. I played Prince Charming. When you asked about me acting, this kind of falls under it a little bit too, but it's not really an actor. I was in a video where I was the lead. It was a song called She Dreams by Mark Chestnut, and it's from 30 years ago. And I was dressed up like Prince Charming of, Camelot.
Yeah.
And riding a white horse and coming to the damsel and it would, you know, spend a little more time on the country singer whose video it was. And I asked our art director guy, Warren Ells, if he could pull just the stuff that's me being Prince Charming. Because I thought, you know, the song is called I Live for Loving You. And that's what that's all about. It's like they're great royal whatever, their love of Camelot kind of thing. And so we incorporated me 30 years ago into a brand new video, which
I have to check it out.
It's
definitely
very appealing
to
me.
Yeah. After we get off the air, I'm definitely going to YouTube and I'm checking it out. I Live for Loving
You. Well,
you
can
guys.
Find it. Yes, I'm not sure if it's on YouTube yet. It just was done today.
See.
I just saw it. But it's on our website. It's on www.theburritobrothers.net.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, it's probably it's the featured video. It's up there as of today. And I think that means it's also on YouTube. I might have to verify that, but
I'm checking it right now.
It really just came out today. It just was.
I'm checking it out. Hang on. The Burrito Brothers.
Are you finding it?
I'm looking, honey. Hold on. Let's see. Let's see if it's here. It sure is.
All right.
I Live for Loving You from the Together album.
Yes.
So I'm going to watch it right after we get off the air.
If
I could play it from YouTube right now, I would. But unfortunately, to play music, I got to download it before the broadcast.
But you're
coming back anyway. We're going to talk about the new album. We're going to have you back. I hope you want to come back, and we'll talk about your new album.
Oh, absolutely.
Like a couple
of tunes. Thank you. I'm flattered.
Yes. And now I wanted to, well, God, I lost my train of thought because we were talking about my snoring fat pug over here.
Mine's trying to get me to throw a ball. No, we're not going to
play with your baby. question for you. Tell us about the lineup in the band. Who's all in the band? We know Tony doing steel guitar. So tell us the rest of the guys in the group.
Tony is the longest tenured burrito brother after me. I came in as a full-time member in 2009.
Wow.
I believe Tony came in around 2012.
Huh.
And then Peter Young, the drummer, who's also a wonderful singer and our studio engineer for most of the stuff. He's not tracking because he's playing drums, but all the overdubs and vocal things. And he is a brilliant artist. He sings and writes and plays, and his drumming is out of this world good. And that's Peter Young. He came in, I think, around 2015 or 16 or 17, somewhere in there. He was gone for a year and then came back. Then we, around that time that Pete came in, we had Bob Hatter, who I had worked with in so many groups in the past. In fact, when I passed the audition to play Jim Morrison, we began playing around town in a Doors, I hate calling it tribute band because it wasn't exactly that. It was a variation on the Doors that we just did. It wasn't our career choice. It was just a lark. It was something fun for these four real good musicians to do every once in a while.
Yeah,
Bob Hatter was in that. He was in Mr. Hyde with me, which was the first signed act I was in about 30 years ago. And he died of cancer during the making of the Together album. In fact, that's one of the things that led to lots of delays. I've said all along that we did result in making the album we would have made had Bob lived, because it was all lined out. It was all planned and then sort of on the drawing board, so to speak. And then,
I'm sorry.
When he couldn't do it anymore, we got Steve Allen, who we've all known a long time, and who has the same talent set. He played the guitar and the bass, and we completed the album just the four of us, like we had done before on Notorious Burrito Brothers with Bob. And we did the tribute idea of listing Bob as still being a member of the band on the Together album, even though Steve Al plays on probably even a little more. Steve was very gracious about that. We put him as an extra special guest, and now he's a regular. He's a full-time member with the Christmas album, and we do from here. But this one last time, we listed Bob Hatter.
That was nice.
Guitar and bass, and we had to say goodbye forever to our dear friend during the making of that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that.
I guess that covers who we are now. I mean, I couldn't even begin to go into who has been in the group. It's fun to read, though, I think. I would once again direct people to the Burrito Brothers website, because there's a timeline on there, and it has an entry for every year starting in 1968.
Wow.
It tells something about who was in it, what album was made, what they did, and how the personnel changed. It's astounding fact that no two Burrito Brothers albums have had exactly the same personnel.
Right.
There's always a change. It's the most morphous, ever-changing group you could imagine.
But I get the Burrito Brothers out of it. How crazy is that?
Oh, yeah. I stand by my assertion that that has a very positive side to it, and that is each time it's reinvented, that new nucleus needs to go out and show what they're made of, go prove themselves.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
That's probably what it is. Like you said, they got to come in and say, you know what, I gotta be a Burrito Brother, and it shows through every album. Like you said, no matter how many turnover or personnel changes you have, you still get a Burrito Brothers album, which is phenomenal.
Oh,
that's just fantastic.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. There's no laurel. There's no nothing to rest on. There's no gold mine that, let's go join the Burrito Brothers, and then all we do is go out and tour and play all those super hits. There weren't any. It's a different kind of legacy. There's no laurels to rest on.
Right, you but you still have a huge
coming
following,
up with
though.
Yeah, it's good. Candy. And then,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And, it's people who feel it's worth it to carry on that legacy, that it's something well worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Are you guys playing out now? Or I mean, where can folks see you play? Or right now you are just, you just released a new album, so you're in the studio, obviously. So where can folks see you anytime soon? Is it on the website, any tour dates?
When they come up, they will be there, and I'm sure probably like Facebook and some of the other social media. As of right this minute, we don't have anything booked. We're sort of regrouping, I guess you'd say, and I always hope with the release of a new album that a few offers start trickling in. But being an older group, we're not really hungry to, you know, climb in a van and go road and
all that
so
road
we,
shit.
We're
yeah.
open for cool stuff, like getting on a festival here and there, or like, would it be really sweet, since our label is in England, SFM Records, be really sweet to get a short trip over to England or overseas to Europe.
Do you hear my dog snoring? I'm so sorry.
Oh, I think I did hear that. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness. I apologize.
No problem. No apology necessary.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny.
That's
funny.
Yes, that's crazy. Now, how did you get a deal with the label out in England?
Well, I sort of nurtured it, have put out feelers. It was on Facebook, I believe, where people were interested in the group, and I saw some people from England talking about it, and this guy named Bob Boiling, who I get a kick out of those initials being BB, like Burrito Brothers, just made all the sense in the world. He's very, very intelligent, knew everything about the group, and had great ideas for. He said that he would be happy to check around, see if he couldn't find out, and I hit it off with him because he understood. I was going to say predicament. I'm not sure if that's quite the right word, but it's like the idea is I don't want to call record companies. I don't want to call possible business connections and say, hi, I'm the leader of the Burrito Brothers, and we're really good, and you should love us, and we want you to do. It just doesn't have the same effect as a third party saying, you got to hear these guys. They're great, you know. I mean, it's like you've reached beyond just trying to brag on yourself.
Right,
and,
right.
And so I convinced him that, you know, we really need that kind of voice. We need the guy who reaches out on behalf of us and not some group guy going, hey, would you listen to us, you know. And he took that ball and ran with it beautifully.
Is Bob from the States, and he's the one that got
the deal? He's from England. He lives in England, and he's our liaison in England. We regard him as our representative in England, and everything we do kind of goes through him now. And he got us the record deal, and he's been our go-between. So, I think it's the same thing as management, but it's kind of – he hesitates to – you know, sounds kind of stuffy to act as if he's a big-time manager. He doesn't have a firm or anything. He's just a smart businessman who cares about us and tackled the job and turned out to be real good at it.
Right, right. Wow, well, that's great. I mean, he saw he knew what the Burrito Brothers were all about, and he saw what could go with it. So that's why he did it. So that's great. Yeah. How long you been with that label?
Let's see. Notorious Burrito Brothers was on that label. The album before that was called Still Going Strong from, I believe, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And we self-produced that. We believed for a moment there that you could just do it yourself and market yourself. And I don't believe that at all. Never will again, I don't think. because it means a lot to get signed by a label. That you know, it's almost akin to the thing I just said about the group themselves saying, "Here's our stuff, buy it from us." You know, isn't as powerful as being on a label. And and we thought, I hoped that since we produced Still Going Strong ourselves, that we owned it outright and that it could still be signed by a label.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob got us in touch with SFM in London, and they said, "I'm sorry, you put code on there. It's been available for download. I'm sorry, even though I get what you're saying, it just it doesn't qualify as not released. It's been released, and so we're not going to touch it. But we love it. So please bring us your next one."
Right.
And so
there you go.
Never again have we made the mistake of trying to market ourselves.
Right. Wow. I got a stupid question for you. Is country rock popular in London, or what kind of acts are on this label?
Wow. I guess you'd have to look up the catalog. It seems to me, they're mostly like us in that they're legacy, but they're from the rock world. Not necessarily country rock as much as
country
just
rock.
A group that's not mega, mega huge, who still makes good albums, and they put them out. And I think that country-flavored progressive rock, which is what we do, I mean, it's really not country. It's a rock group, but it has a lot of country flavor to it.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty readily accepted in Europe and England, more so than currently in the United States. And that's why we aimed toward that for our for our record deal.
Yeah, I was just curious. I didn't know if London was big on country rock, but I guess they love everything. Listen, Europe loves everything. You know, look at Germany, Japan. You know, they love everything.
Yeah.
You know, they're still listening.
Yeah, and there's a real history of them liking the Burrito Brothers. There's lots of points in time where the Flying Burrito Brothers and the Burrito Brothers went overseas to good receptions.
Yeah, I mean, they're still listening to metal bands that, you know, aren't played here anymore, you know, and that they're more popular there than they are here. I hate to bring it up.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Time has moved.
Yeah, I hate to
bring
it up.
Time has moved on so far.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff, he was popular in Germany and not here, music-wise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Who even knew he was a musician or a singer at the time, you know? I had no idea he was a singer.
I think I found that out going over there with Bobby Bear. It's like, what?
I know. Okay. When I heard how popular he was in Germany, I was like, I had no idea he was even a singer. But anyway, not to get off our train here, you know, but it's phenomenal to me that, you know, Europe and Asia, all the foreign countries, just that they appreciate music more than we do, in my opinion. You know, like they still listen to great music.
I mean, yeah, I don't really know. I can't pretend to be a know-it-all, but I get this sense that there's a larger percentage, a larger faction of people overseas who really do hold well-played music by musicians in high regard. They like these legacy things. They like this kind of stuff. And there is there's sort of, I don't want to sound like I think it's all gone or anything, but there's a lot of just sort of processed, churned out junk music that's what's shoved down the throats of most people in the United States, because they're not all that discerning. They don't insist upon hearing a better group. They really don't know the difference. And there's nothing I can do to change the general public's essentially almost disregard for quality of
great music.
I know. It's just good stuff that gets...
Yep.
I don't know. Obviously, money does it. I wish somebody put that kind of money behind us. I was listening yesterday to Spotify, and I don't have the version that gets rid of all the ads, and so I have to tolerate the ads when they come on. And I keep hearing the same kind of monotonous talking rhythmic, but doesn't really sound like musicians playing together. It sounds like a process track that somebody with synths and things made.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, there's only one reason that this is in everybody's face, because somebody paid for it. That's the only way. It wasn't made in somebody's basement and everybody goes, God, that's so brilliant. We all want to hear it. That is not what happened.
No.
That baby got paid for.
Right.
That's kind of sad. It's like, how do they put all that money behind the stuff that's really not that good?
Right. What kills me, honestly, about it's like the music industry, when I say that, I mean executives are the ones who control what we listen to, and they could change all this by playing great music. I mean, there's so many musicians like yourself that, you know, are still writing and putting out music, and it's not getting the proper notoriety that it should anymore.
It'd be nice if they could, you know, if they wanted to lay down the law. I mean, you may have heard this before, having interviewed a lot of musicians. The notion that it's in the company's, the profit margin, best interest to just have this stuff churned out and thrown out there, and you just take the money and run. And the problem with real artists is they're temperamental and they'll make demands and all this. Well, you know, if that's got any truth to it, that could be solved by them saying, look, we do want to have real artists, but the minute you guys start acting all temperamental and making demands,
we're done.
Then we're done.
Right.
So let's meet in the middle here, you know? Let's not think it's all or nothing.
Right. Yeah, it's just changed dramatically.
Because we're real efficient. I mean, they should sign us because we make the whole album and deliver it to them.
Right.
We're not asking for advances. We're not asking for big money up front. We're just wanting to make albums and get them out to the world. If they were putting mega millions behind us, their profit margin would be real good.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that most of your albums you do on your own dime, which most musicians do, and real musicians do anyway. So, you know, but it is what it is. Chris.
Well, we've gotten small advances for studio time, but we really have come around to not wanting them, because those can lead to trouble. If you get an advance, that doesn't mean free money. That means
you got to give it back.
Until your album's made that much money, you don't see a cent.
Right.
And if for any reason your album didn't make that much money, the record company's kind of down on you because they lost on you.
Right.
So if we pay for it up front, then basically there's not a lot of room for loss on their end.
Exactly.
And it gets it out there, and we know how to be efficient and do a real good job without paying way too much to get it.
Right. Well, Chris, we are running out of time, but I want you to come back because I want to talk about the new album. So, guys, go out. Listen to the new album, Christmas, by the Burrito Brothers. It's available everywhere online. You can go to their website, and they have a new album out, Together, and Chris is going to come back, and we're going to talk about that. I'm hoping maybe next month, Chris, if you're free. Can I reach out to you?
I would love to.
I have your number. Can I call you and schedule a date
Absolutely.
For next month?
Wonderful. Oh, I would love that. I'd be flattered, as I am today.
Well, listen, thank you so much. I don't mean to cut you off, but we literally have a minute left, and, you know, I could talk to you forever. So next time I'll make the show for a longer time, and we'll be able to enjoy ourselves even more.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you so much, Joanne. It's really been a pleasure. I enjoyed it. I hope we didn't get too far off into left field tangents.
Well, no, we'll get back to right field and center field when we come back next month. How's that sound?
Yes. Yeah. Put me
Wonderful.
In, coach.
Yeah, I'm ready to play.
Yeah.
Everybody, Chris James from the Burrito Brothers, he's coming back next month. We're going to make it happen. Go check out the album by the Burrito Brothers, Christmas. You heard Christmas Moon tonight, great tune. And they've got another new album out called Together, and we're going to talk about that next month. So, Chris, thank you so very much. Have a great night, and we will talk. I'll give you a call, okay?
All right. Thanks again. Appreciate it very much, Julie.
Take care. Have a good night. Bye-bye, everybody. Chris James from the Burrito Brothers. Thanks, Chris.
Goodbye.
Wow, we ran short of time. That's the first time that's ever happened. Anyway, if I've got a second left, if you can hear me, I'm not sure if the show cut off or not. Join us on the 21st. Michelle will be back. Michelle Palmieri, she'll be back to do some free psychic readings for you at 8 p.m. Eastern. And that's January 21st. We're booking slowly this next couple shows till I can get my life back in order. Hopefully next week everything may be back to normal, so I hope. But Chris, again, Chris James, thank you so very much for hanging out with me tonight. I really enjoyed our conversation too. The Burrito Brothers, go check them out if you've never heard of them before, which is unbelievable to me. Especially if you love music, the Flying Burritos, Graham Parsons, I mean, music legend. So new album, Christmas, came out December 1st. We heard Christmas Moon. We didn't get to play Merry Christmas, but we did hear Christmas Moon. So I'm thrilled about that. And we're going to have Chris back on next month to talk about his new album, Together. And if you want, you can go to YouTube, which I'm going to do after the show, and check out the new video from one of the songs. It's called I Live for Loving You, from their new album, Together, by the Burrito Brothers. I hope you all have a great weekend, and we will see you soon, the 21st, January 21st, Sunday, at 8 p.m. Eastern with Michelle Palmieri. And we are going to get Chris back, and we're going to have a good time with his new album. And I want to play this song. I love this song. I'm not going to play it. Whatever. Have a good weekend, guys, and we will see you very, very soon. Chris James from the Burrito Brothers, thank you so much, sir. Have a good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay warm. It's going to snow again Friday over here. Over in Jersey, I know it's snowing everywhere, but wherever you are, be careful, be safe, stay warm. If you don't have to go out, don't. There's no reason why. It's not fit for man or beast. Tell me who said that. Have a good night. Bye.